Hello, welcome to Lifestyle Wellness with Terry A., where we talk about what we can do to mentally prepare ourselves for good health. This is Terry A., the author of Living Clay. We had little Rascal Flats this morning, and he says, "I want to be running when the sand runs out." I thought that was very appropriate. He said, "I'm not going to look back." That was a good song for us as we get a little older and the sand's going through the time machine. But you want to keep running when the sand runs out. So I want to die with my boots on and go out doing something and making a difference in the world. And that takes right attitude. I hope all of you made it well through the holidays with not too much stress and that the worksheet helped you. I had a beautiful holiday. I entertained more than I ever did. I put up so many decorations. I thought, now I've got to have people come in and share it. But I did it in little groups, and I had fun. I just ate a little too much of foods that I shouldn't have, but I'm on a different path now that January's here. Today I want to talk to you about the topic of, do words matter? Think about that. Do words matter? Do what you say to other people matter? And why is it that some of us are more thin-skinned and you can say something to it and we just take everything personal, we translate it internally, and we get our feelings hurt? How can we become more thick-skinned and independent of your feelings and ideas about me? You know, if you interview 10 people, if each of you found 10 people and asked them, what do you like or don't like about me, you're going to get 10 different answers from every one of them. So it's all somebody's perspective. It may be in the moment. Maybe you're having a bad hair day and they say something unkind to you and it hurts. And you can realize, you know, this is just a thought. It's not my reality. It's someone's thought. And I'm not attached to her opinions of me. And just let it go. Thank you. You might be right. I call them criticisms when somebody criticizes you. And so not to engage or argue, I just say, you know, you might be right. Now, I'm not saying they are right. So I'm not engaging, and they have nothing to argue with or fight back with. So it sort of dissolves the situation. You can say, thank you, I'll take a look at that. And then you can put it in the trash dumpster, do whatever you want. But you heard them, you acknowledged it, and you acknowledged yourself. And you are open to looking at it. You may find something there, you may not. But to have your feelings hurt about it, and a lot of this help affects our wellness. Some of us are so emotionally tied up that we have a bad habit of eating and we don't eat appropriately, and this affects our health in the long run. I have a good friend, and she said every time she went home all her life, when she walked in the house, her brother would walk on in and say, "Hi, fatty." Well, that's the word. When she told me that, I wish I could have met her brother. He's dead now, I imagine, with that much negativity in his body. He died early. But I would just like to go up and say, well, who are you to pass judgment on others? How great is your life? And, you know, don't abuse my friends. But if we don't know how to stand up for ourselves and respect ourselves, how can we expect other people to? You know, you can always say, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And did I ask for this information? There are different things you can say. But again, so many of us are thin-skinned and take it so personal and to heart. My grandson, whom I talk about quite a bit, is just turned 9 years old, and he's in a baseball program, and he's learning to pitch. He's taking lessons. And his dad forgot and got him there about 30 minutes late the last time, so he hadn't warmed up. And when he was pitching, he missed a lot of balls, and he was throwing them right at the catcher's feet. He was throwing short, so he wasn't releasing the ball at the last time, at the right time. And he was trying real hard to throw a fastball. when, since he's just learning, he needs to concentrate on technique and not just trying to have the fastest ball across the plate because they go in the dirt. And this kid that he was in his group came up to him and said, "You suck at pitching." Said, "All your balls went in the dirt," and turned around and walked off. And, you know, Jack told me, "How do you think that makes me feel?" And I said, "Well, you know, that's just his opinion, and you, it doesn't mean that you agree. Maybe you had a bad day and you threw some in the dirt. That doesn't mean you do it every time. And I saw you throw some good balls as well." But to an 8 or 9 year old, they want to get even. I mean, that kid just went to war with him. When you say something and insult somebody like that, you're going to war. How's that going to help them as a team player? They've got to play together. They've got to like each other. They've got to respect each other. And all that foundation was destroyed. I don't know why he felt the need to say it, other than he needed to feel superior. It was kind of a hateful thing to say. So now what do we do? Do we tell the coaches? It seems like tattling to do that. And I told Jack, I said, "Jack, why don't you just, the next time he says something like saying, 'You know, you may be right. What do you think I'm here for anyway?' He came to learn, to take lessons." And, but when I told him that, when I said, "You may be right," his little 9-year-old mind internalized it. As I said, he was right. And he says, "Now you're agreeing with him. I must be horrible. You think I'm a bad player too. I can't do anything right. I'm not any good. I want to quit." And he started into that little downward spiral like we all do. And particularly if you're 9 years old and you're hurt and you think your grandmother just agreed with the other guy. And the word "might" is opens a window. You know, if someone says something negative to me, I say, "You know, you might be right. I'll take a look at it. Thank you for calling it to my attention," and walk away. Now, I didn't engage. I didn't argue with him. I put out the fire. He can't sit there and argue and be able to feel better and to engage me and to take my power. Because I didn't go there with him. I didn't go to war with him. Instead, I used different words. I acknowledged that I heard him, and I said I'd take a look at it. And I didn't say what I would do about it. I didn't say I agreed with him. But that's just a way of finessing and walking away and keeping from engaging in arguments. Arguments zap your strength. Have you been around people who love to argue and you just don't want to be around them? You don't want to say anything because they're always trying to get you to argue. A lot of them are radio disc jockeys talking on the air and they want to get on some subject and rant about it because somebody said one little thing wrong, and then they have to make a big issue about it, have people call in and get mad and angry, and they sell a lot of products that way. But I still go for the peaceful way in life. This program, and you're kind of wondering by now why, how this relates to your health. And this program is about wellness, and it's about mental wellness as well as physical wellness. I often have people who call me and say the clay's not working for something that I know the clay is excellent for. And what that arouses in me is an inquiry that I need to inquire, are you dealing with some kind of stress in your life? And every time I get the stress load, I get to hear what's going on. These people are chronic worriers, and worrying is futile. I mean, lots of times we make an assumption about what we're worrying about and don't even know if it's right or wrong, and yet we spend hours of our time and energy locked into worrying, and that takes us out of our happy place. And it takes your body down. It's hard on your body when you're constantly worrying. You know, you have to have faith and trust that things are going to get better every day in every way. And that brings us to our lifestyle wellness intention, is to open awareness to how we can support our own well-being from loving thoughts about our body's ability to heal and return to balance, to learn to substitute positive thoughts for negative ones, to open the door to self-healing, to release anger, regrets, and judgments, to forgive and move on, to learn about living a peaceful, healthy, productive lifestyle. Well, Jack didn't want to forgive and go on. You know, that little boy just made war with him. And he's just looking for him to do something where he can retaliate. And I tried to explain to him, you know, when you're playing with somebody and you kind of push him and you say you're playing and then they push back, and maybe you push a little harder you intended to and then they push back harder and then you push back harder, it escalates and now instead of playing, you're at war. And somebody's going to get hurt and then the other person's going to get in trouble. And that's what I'm afraid is going to happen in this situation. But do we become a tattletale? Do we go and tell the coach? He's got to work it out. He's got to learn to stand in his own ground. So do we talk to him about words and how words hurt and how to use good words and how to not take on what everybody else said? Don't let what other people say define you. That's big. Don't let what other people say about you define you. You're totally giving your power away to them. Who are they? God, to make a judgment on you? They haven't walked in your shoes. They don't know what you're experiencing in life. So where do they come off getting to judge you? 9 out of 10 times they feel insecure about themselves, and when they can find fault with you, it makes them feel better about themselves. So it's really not about you at all. So don't take it on. Just throw that back in the trash. Don't participate in it. Don't jump in that puddle of mud and go to war with them. You'll have a much happier life. You know, my friend whose brother always walked in and said, "Hey, fatty," he ended up dying of cancer. He had colon cancer, and he died at a young age. And I thought, if he was that hateful and had that much anger to his own sister and treated her that way, how did he treat other people in life? And how happy was he? And maybe, you know, all that built up and he created his own health issues. Our affirmation, our daily affirmation, is every day in every way I am more aware that I am responsible for improving my health. I'm willing to get better. I look forward to changing my habits in order to get better. You got to do something if you want change. I'm strong, wise, and make good choices. My health improves with my attitude. I'm at peace with my progress. I can do this and make it easy. So here again, the words come into play. Oh, I've got it. It's the first of the year. I need to get on a diet. I need to get some goals. I need to do this. I need to do that. You need to be happy. You need to be happy. And there again, here we're letting what other people think we need to do with our lives define us. If you believe you can do something, you can do it. If you believe it's going to be hard and difficult to lose weight, it will. I noticed Jack when he was taking lessons, there were some things the coach would tell him, and he kept having to tell him over and over and over again. I thought, why isn't he getting it? So I asked him about it later, and I said, "Jack, you're not listening to your coach. He told you to stand a certain way." And he said, "Well, Mina, it feels really awkward." And I said, "Well, it feels awkward for a reason, but your coach's not going to tell you to do something that's not going to make a better player out of you. And that's just a habit of where the way you like to stand at the batting plate. And if you will try it his way and get used to it, it will be easy. And if you think it's going to be hard, it's going to be hard. But if you say, you know, I can do this, I'm going to focus on trying to do what the coach says, then you can be a good player and you're coachable and the coaches will like you and they'll play you more. So it's up to you. You get to choose. So all of this affects our health. A lady called me the other day who had talked to some time back about her high blood pressure, and she called to tell me that the clay wasn't helping it. And I said, well, that surprises me, but if it's not, then get off of it. You know, you don't want to do something. Well, she was telling me that she was sitting, I think she said, in the clinic, and she had one of those epiphanies. She had been doing inner child work, and there was a situation in her life that she was very stressed out about and giving her power away. And suddenly she realized that her inner child needed some attention, and all she needed to do was stop and acknowledge it and say, and she realized her blood pressure was an excuse to getting attention. So the inner child was playing out in the adult child, and she was wanting attention and having blood pressure that nobody could cure and having to keep going back to the hospital for it. That was how she was getting attention. And the minute that she had the epiphany that that's what she was doing, and she just visually held her little child and gave her some attention and thanked her and told her it was okay now, her health did a 360-degree turn. Her blood pressure went down. She hasn't had another problem. We can do that to our bodies. Dr. Bernie Siegel wrote his book. He was is a renowned brain surgeon or surgeon, and he wrote this book about how our attitudes can cure our bodies. I have the privilege of knowing a young lady who is in my speaking group, and she was legally blind, and she became legally blind when she was in junior high school, and she could make out shapes so she wouldn't walk into something, but she couldn't, just everything was totally blurry. And you know, if she had a TV screen with these huge letters on, she could a monitor with huge letters, she could read a little bit from her computer. But when she went to see her high school counselor to talk about what she wanted to do in life, she said, I want to be a music teacher. And he said, you can't do that, you're blind. And she just, it just got all over her, and she said, I'll show you. Now, some people take something like that as a challenge, and it motivates them to do better. And the other people just collapse in the corner and say, I can't do that. My counselor told me I can't do that. My dream is, I'm just going to give up on it. So what is it that makes that difference in us? And we have to go inside and ask ourselves that question. She wrote a book about Prove 'Em Wrong, and she ended up being an elementary school music teacher. She was great with the kids. She'd use words like champion, and each letter stood for something, like C for courage, H for honesty, E for alertness, and went on. And each day, different kids, when they did something good, she would let them take that letter and put it on the board until they had the word champion written out, and she tells them they're all champions. So I love the fact that she would not take, and she decided and made her whole life. She was a motivational speaker, and she talked about her dilemma of being sighted one day and blind the next, legally blind the next, and this counselor telling her she couldn't be a music teacher in the public school system. Well, not only did she did it for many years, and she finally retired from it. She also became a speaker on the National Speaker Association, and her talk was Prove 'Em Wrong. And she is a very inspirational, wonderful person who just didn't give up. And the quote for today, Louise's quote, is, I always have a choice. You always have a choice. May not be the best one that you think you should have, but you have a choice. I choose to believe that it is easy to change a thought pattern. Now, how about that? You always have a choice. I choose to believe it's easy to change a thought pattern. Now, all you people losing weight, pounce on that one big time. It's not so hard. I signed up with a personal trainer to get some exercise going. I'm going on a cruise in March, and I want to get in really good shape. And like I said, I overate during the holidays. And I've never been on a calorie-counting diet before, but I'm doing it now. And I'm finding I have calories left over at the end of the day. And if I do it larger, the only thing is I'm cooking all day long, and I'm not used to cooking. And I can't cook in small portions, like how do you cook 3 asparagus spears? I cook the whole bunch, and then I've got to eat asparagus for 3 days. But that's a minor problem, and I can rotate things around and freeze portions. And again, there is a way to deal with that. And I was telling Jack to pay attention and to try what his coach told him and to be coachable. And I noticed when I first started out and she was telling me to write down every day, every meal, what you eat and how many calories it is and all that, I noticed myself thinking, I don't really want to do this. She won't know what I write down or not. And I caught myself, because what I was judging Jack on was I was wanting him to listen to his coaches and be coachable. So I'm wanting to be coachable. And when I started doing it, it's not that hard. And I haven't gotten to 1,600 calories yet. I've had 1,200 calories, 1,100 calories. But I eat small portions throughout the day, and I have healthy snacks, fruit, and nuts and things like that, and I just haven't been hungry. I'm drinking lots of water and exercising. So it's amazing when you change your attitude and have a I can do day and not a I can't do day. And look at how your attitude affects your body. Letting go. Don't let life situations and other people define you. We all have our days where we're not on the top of our game. One bad day does not define you unless you give your power away. Let me see here. I don't know if we have anybody out there with questions. I'm going to go over to the question line and see if someone has submitted a question. Doesn't look like we have any questions. Well, I guess you came to listen, if anybody came. You know, the beauty of this, I don't know if I'm standing here talking to myself or what. I hope there's some people out there and that you're listening and getting some of this, and that together we can all practice to stay on track and know that we can do things and that our words do matter, and kind words. I was also talking about words mattering to Jack. And I said, you know, when you do something kind for people, they want to pass it on and do something kind for somebody else. You can't always repay the person who helped you, but you can pass it forward. And we were sitting there, and he turned to me and he said, Mina, you see that man in the corner that walked in with the cane? He's got something wrong with his leg. Why don't you go over and give him some clay for his leg? And I thought that was a beautiful thing to say. Didn't have any clay with me at the time, but he was already thinking and putting it into action. And I said, you know, I do that oftentimes. I don't have any with me right now, or I do that. And it really looked like he'd had a hip replacement. I'm not sure it would help him in his situation. But Jack caught on, and I said, that would feel really good to help people like that, wouldn't it? And the other day I had someone at my house, and I was on the phone talking to somebody and telling him about clay, and he overheard me. He was over here, and he came up, and he tugged on me, and I said, excuse me, can you hold for just a second? And I put the phone down and turned to him, and he said, tell him how I use the clay, and tell him if you put it on this, it'll help him. So I went back and told him, I said, my grandson wanted me to tell you how he uses clay and how it helps him. and we both had a chuckle out of it. But little kids are listening and learning. Have an intention. Our intention for this session is, it is my dominant intention to be aware of words said about me and to know that is not necessarily who I am. I am the creator of my own reality. And we can do that both ways. We can say kind words said to other people instead. A closing thought for today is, do you know that it's perfectly okay, even on highly ideal, to claim all is well amongst doubt and confusion? So what's that mean? Do you know it's perfectly okay, even highly ideal, to claim all is well when you're amongst doubt and confusion? To be happy in spite of challenges, to laugh at problems, to dance without a partner, to sing without rhythm, to talk to inanimate objects. It's like this world was made just for you. Don't you just love that thought? What if we just did what brought us great joy and could let the bad words, the negative words, roll off of us like water on a duck's back? So for this next session, I invite you to be a duck. And I also want to bring up that there are a lot of doctors out there. Doctors have to diagnose according to symptoms. And sometimes they diagnose wrong. How many of you know someone who has been given a death sentence by a doctor that's still alive today? And I bet you know more than one, or know of a close friend who knew someone that had to it. I can count several. One lady in my life, she was gone in the second time for breast cancer. She was young, had just had a baby, and she started juicing. And she realized there was cancer in her family, and she started eating raw, organic. She grows her own vegetables, and she juices, and she eats raw. And she's in her 70s now and just got back from a skiing trip. She's phenomenal. So she doesn't know she can't, so she did. Her son had liver cancer and was given 3 weeks to live. He had end stage liver disease. Nevertheless, the doctors had given 3 weeks to live. She grabbed her juicer, bundled up a bunch of her organic produce, went up there, started cooking for him and feeding him raw and juicing. And he's alive and well today and has two little boys, and his life is good. So that's good. It looks like I have someone here with a question I'm going to click on. Hello? Was it?
Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Hi, Terry. It's Audrey from Austin.
Hi, Audrey. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad I got to catch the show today. It's my first time, and I'm really enjoying it. And I just had a comment and then a question. I wanted to say what you were saying earlier about worrying affecting your health and, you know, the importance of emotional composure and affecting your ability to heal. It's so profound and so important. I don't think anybody, you know, pays enough attention to it. I definitely experienced that in my life. And I have a question for you, for those of us, you know, who are working on healing issues. I've found that it's so easy for people, I've talked to other people about this too, that it's so easy to have the best of intentions and highest thoughts at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day, you know, when things are quieter, but how do you maintain that? Do you have any suggestions on maintaining that throughout the day when, you know, things just get busy and hectic and life kind of, you know, has a tendency to carry you away?
Yes, definitely. And when I get in that crisis management and I have more things to do when I get done, it's a need to stop. Right there is when I need to stop. When I think I can't stop, I need to stop. go someplace to a quiet place, breathe, close my eyes, meditate, and just get back into my body. Your energy is out there. You're fighting off bandits and doing millions of things. Believe me, they'll still be there when you get back. But take a moment to just breathe and get grounded. Put your feet on the ground. Take a deep breath in. Close your eyes. Breathe out. And as you breathe out, relax. Relax through your head, your neck, your shoulders, your jaw, particularly your jaw, your face. You hold so much in your face. And feel yourself relaxing and coming back in. And if you can take the time to just still your mind and quieten it, solutions will come. I mean, by the time you step away from 10 minutes of meditation, the universe will be answering you in different ways. It'll be supporting you in different ways. When we can meditate and be still, we can hear the voice of God within us. We are divine children, and we all have the potential to create, manifest what we want. But we get so caught up in everything, and that's a very good point. And Audrey, there's another exercise I like to recommend to people. I got from a friend of mine called Tom Zimmerman. And Tom says you need to give yourself 15 minutes a day to worry. If you're a chronic worrier, write all your worries down when you get them and save them for that period of time. And then during that 15 minutes, you just worry, 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 just like it's going to make a difference. And if you missed your time, you have to wait till the next day. Now, if you really want to quit worrying, you'll make your time like 2:30 in the morning where you have to set your alarm and get up to worry. Worrying is futile. We're worried about the past or the future, which we're not in the moment. This moment, everything is fine. So it's a habit that we've developed, and it can be changed, and you can make it easy. Put a rubber band around your wrist, and every time you have a worry, just pop that rubber band. And it's usually about your kids or your family or someone close to you who wish were doing life differently. Notice you're seeing them as needy, and maybe you're the one that's needy. And what if you saw them as perfectly capable of figuring out life after all you did, right? The people we have judgments are just reflections for us to remind us what we need to do. But I promise you, one day I shut the office door and I went out to the country right when I was peaked out in crisis management, got into a hammock, sat there, closed my eyes, and said, God, send me a messenger. And I looked up and overhead was a buzzard. And I said, do you have a message for me? And I noticed in order to fly, a buzzard has to spread his wings and be willing to be vulnerable. So many of us are afraid of vulnerability. Vulnerability will connect you to people. You don't have to be perfect. They want to know that you're real, that you bleed, that you fall down sometimes and you have to dust yourself up and get back up, because that gives them help. So don't try to put on the persona that you are perfect in every way and everything is always hunky-dory for you. You know, occasionally tell them, ooh, I had a bad day, but guess what? I got through it. I decided to laugh and play and go to a movie instead. So do you think some of those would help?
Definitely. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you being on the call and in our chat group, too. Next week, we will have a clay seminar. And in the meantime, Cheryl will take the notes from today and print and send them to everybody with a link to the archive files where anybody who wasn't able to make the call or maybe would like the notes from the call, they can go there and get them. So thank everyone. I'm going to ask, is there anyone else that has a question? If you'd print *2 on your phone. And Audrey, if we're done, I'm going to shut you off, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks for chiming in. All right. Well, it was good hearing from Audrey. It's so nice when someone chips in and gives me an idea or asks a question. You know, I don't know what I know until someone gives me a question. And sometimes I don't know it, and I will be the first to tell you. But when you open to, my intention today was to have a good number of listeners and that they would get something positive to take away from today's session to help them with their lives. So kind of when you come from one of those intentions, and I'm a big believer in setting intentions, when you come for those intentions, the universe just lines up and the thoughts come to you just when you need them. So thank you for listening in today. I hope this has been beneficial and helpful. And I'm going to get these notes out to Cheryl, and she will send them to everybody on the list. And, you know, go out today and laugh at that, those challenges in your life, dance without a partner, sing out of rhythm, live your life. Don't be afraid. Don't let anybody hold you back. Do it from a place of joy, and I know I can do this, and also have an intention that it'll be easy. Why make life hard with our thinking? All right. Thank you. Have a marvelous day. It's a beautiful day in the great Southwest here today. It's sunny and beautiful. A little chilly, not real cold, but go outside and spend a little time in nature. I love all of you, and thank you again for tuning in. This is Perrier signing out.